Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was the time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So during the break, Sean and I were discussing the rocket explosion called Blue Origin. Brought to you by Blue Origin. Their rocket exploded into a giant fireball. If you haven't seen it, you should look it up. It is under the umbrella of all things Jeff Bezos. He called it a very rough day and a major setback for the company's space venture. Elon Musk said of the incident, "Rockets are hard." It was, thankfully, from what's being reported, it was an incident that didn't result in the death of anyone. And the only way I see it happening is there was no one within at least a mile of it. Like, it feels like the heat simply from the explosion would have killed someone. It's just this giant fireball, as Sean put it. It almost looks like something people would have told Michael Bay to tune down as far as how big the fireball was. Hey, that's a little unrealistic.
Like, if a rocket blows up in a movie and makes this big of an explosion, people are like, all right, dude, this is too much. No, apparently that's what they look like.
So it was uncrewed and it belonged to Bezos and his Blue Origin company. And, that's the operative word, 322 feet tall. It ignited on the pad in Cape Canaveral about 9 p.m. And then just big, bright orange flame. It's a spectacular thing to see, a nutty thing to see. And thankfully, no one passed away.
Since no one was killed by this, I can say it looked awesome. I kind of wish they would do it every once in a while.
Yeah, look, it would be...
They should intentionally blow one up.
It'd be something, if in a movie, you would go, what a great scene.
Yeah,
except it costs billions of dollars.
Yeah. That's why they wouldn't blow one up every fifth time. They just like, you never know. And it's like, this is the one that's just going to blow up on the pad.
They call it an anomaly. Or an anomaly caused the incident. So we'll see... What small little thing. What investigation is launched to figure out
someone
what...
Someone didn't screw it in all the way.
And speaking of that, there's a scene where unfortunately... it's a TV show, so I shouldn't say that, unfortunately. There's a scene in... what the hell is the name of the show? Oh, For All Mankind, where a rocket blows up on the pad and people are killed. And I bring it up partly because of that, and also... There is a For All Mankind universe. While this show is an alternate history of the space program, they're also doing an alternate history of that universe from the Russians' perspective. So we're going to get a Russian show. I think it's called Star City, where we're going to get the view of the Russians in the space race.
So it's the same scenario, just from the other point of view.
Yes, we're going to see how the Russians, I guess, if you don't know, For All Mankind, in that scenario, the Russians win the race to the moon. They win the space race initially, and then we're trying to catch up to them. So we're going to see the Russians and how they beat us to space in that alternate universe. It's called Star City. I did not know For All Mankind had that type of juice where they could have a spinoff and have a complete universe of alternate space history shows.
Yeah.
Apple TV loves sci-fi, loves space, and they're going to provide us with Space City. So far, Rotten Tomatoes gives it 100%. In fact, the premiere is today of Space City on Apple TV. Wonder if Michael has that as a rec. Hopefully, I didn't spoil something for him. But I love a space show, and I will check into Star City. I wonder if we'll have some crossover, like in And For All Mankind, of course, we have characters that have been around from the beginning, and it's like 20 years in the future, so they all have gray hair, fake wrinkles as well. Are we gonna get them young again?
Yeah.
We're going to get flash. Well, it won't really be flashbacks because it'll be as they go in this series. Will we get a younger Joel Kinnaman again, who plays one of the major roles in For All Mankind?
Do they do Operation Paperclip in this?
In Star City?
Yeah, or in the actual, or in For All Mankind? Do they recruit Nazi scientists in this? That's what I'm asking.
Because
that would be the cameo spot. It's like, you know, Wernher von Braun.
I don't remember if they got to
Nazi
scientist operation. I don't think they did. Did they do that?
Because that was a key part of.
Yeah, they do that.
The U.S. winning.
They actually do. They do Operation Paperclip in For All Mankind. Okay. It doesn't work out the same way.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do they lose the recruiting battle for those guys, or do those guys just not pull through? But oh well.
We'd have to watch to get in its entirety figured out. But Operation Paperclip wasn't the rousing success in the show compared to reality.
No. It was a bad recruiting class, you know.
It happens.
They're five stars.
It happens.
We took some character risks.
No, the problem is the scientists topped out in their junior years. In the show, they didn't wait for a senior film. Yeah, bunch of scientists whose parents held them back a couple years. So they'd be older and more mature. And now look what it got you. Shout out to Mac Brown having his recruiting class done by
Get your feet up.
The summer before senior year. Look how that worked out late in the process. Perhaps don't do that anymore. Let's get to Chris. He wants to talk about a show on Netflix, and then we may talk some basketball. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Bill. Hey, guys. Love the show. My question was, I haven't seen a series yet, but I'm getting a lot of mixed reviews about it. It's a show on Netflix called Nemesis. I wanted to see if you've seen it. Supposedly they say like the acting's not really that good on it. So I'm trying to see if it's going to be worth me tuning into it to check it out or not. I'm just wondering if you've seen it or heard anything about it. I appreciate it. I hang up and listen.
Appreciate it. The most I've heard about it is your mention of the acting not being good and people just making fun of the show. I have not actually seen a clip of it. I know that it is, for some people, reaching meme territory. If you just go by critics, 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, so well reviewed. It is maybe a guilty pleasure more than anything else. I don't know that the substance of the show is what people are latching on to, but I have not seen it. But I do know that it is part of the internet right now with people making mention of it, but it is number one on Netflix. It was at least recently. So people are watching. So maybe give it a look, Chris. We'll see if Michael has some thoughts on that. Let's get to the NBA before we wrap it up for this segment. Not competitive. The Spurs run away from it. They respond to the Game 5 loss with the Game 6 blowout of their own. They had a 20-0 run. The game, I think it was an 8-point game, and then they ripped off a 20-0 run in the third quarter to put the game away, and then the fourth quarter was just running out the clock. So I mentioned it earlier. Carter Bryant took a couple runs at SGA, knocked him down a couple of times, legitimate ones as opposed to what the conversation's been about SGA. Do you think we see a Thunder response? Because they didn't respond to Jared McCain getting smacked around. They just let it go. I don't think they have it in them. I don't think it's part of their personality. Even when Lou Dort does it, he claims innocence when he's tripping someone or running into the back of their legs.
I mean, we saw Wimby order the code red in game 5.
What about NBC and Mike Tirico going, he's like doing the lip reading thing, or maybe they had a source that told them hard fouls. He said hard fouls. Like they'd had the, we have the broadcast shot that we initially saw. Yeah. They had the reverse angle where he tried to cover his mouth. We could still see it. Tirico's like, he said hard fouls.
Snitching.
Do we know that to be the case?
Snitching ass Tirico.
Like by reading his lips.
It
doesn't look like it. So he would have had to have someone tell him.
Yeah.
He said hard fouls.
Was Zora Stevenson leaning in?
Or he made it up and just assumed because of what happened afterwards. Like, how was that sourced? Either way, snitching on us. Yeah. Out here snitching.
Yeah. But at the same time, in game 6, when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets subbed out with like 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Shai didn't go, hey.
You got to whisper to Kendrick Williams.
Oh, Nikola Topic.
Yeah.
Well, hard fouls.
Toe pitch.
Is Kendrick Williams likely to do it?
But at least Biombo and Plumlee are big.
They have a history, too. Plumlee don't back down. Oh, he got after it with Stephen Adams.
Yeah, Plumlee. Plumlee's a dog. And Biombo just looks ripped.
Yeah, don't mess with him.
Yeah, the toe pitch.
Who on the Thunder, like, third
They don't really
string,
have a goon.
Who's the guy
I mean,
that they could go to?
Lou Dort's their goon.
Yeah, he's a starter. So
yeah,
they can't risk him missing a game. I know he's not playing
well. I think they can risk him missing
At least
the game.
In their heads, they believe he's very
important.
I know.
They're still starting him. So, yeah. But, yeah, I think game six was the time, if you were going to retaliate, would be the time to retaliate there. But because in game seven, like, I don't know. I don't think you can be doing that. I don't think you can either be playing your goon, unless it's Lou Dort, which they don't seem as fine as I am with letting Lou Dort get suspended.
They could have sent – is Thomas Sorber active? They could have sent him in there.
Just looking at the
– Sent the rookie in there to go – Hey, he's a 6'9", 250. He's a big
guy.
Yeah, I just don't know if – I just don't know if you want to put that on a rookie. Although, if we go back to the Heatles era, they sent your guy Dexter Pittman in there – to elbow a dude.
Yeah, what do you like clothesline?
Yeah, bang. So it has been done. They have asked young players in the past. So if Thomas Sorber's got to be the one, he's got to be the one. But he wasn't asked.
Yeah, also Dexter Pittman, a couple more pounds on Thomas Sorber. Yeah,
a couple inches too. Dexter was a big, big individual.
But yeah, I think in game set, I mean, I kind of believe what you said, where I don't think the Thunder like have it in them, which is really weird. I mean, That the champion, like, you know, defending champion back against the wall, and we're like, I don't think they have it in them to be, like, as, like, nasty with this. Like, they're good at the falling down and pulling people's arms and hair part of being nasty.
But to be openly aggressive to prove a point, that ain't them.
No, they're Gen Z. That's too cringe and try hard. they're nonchalant.
Meanwhile,
they fall down every time they take a shot.
Meanwhile, the guy who ordered the Cold Red is as maybe he's not Gen Z. He's going over to hang out with monks and then honor.
Yeah, he's a little different.
Yeah, yeah. But
Chet, come on. Chet. Every high school in America has 15 Chet Holmgrens in it. They're just I don't know, a foot and a half shorter.
But. I was in an HEB. It wasn't a high school. It might have been a high school kid. It wasn't a worker. And you know how people will say, CJ Stroud better not have a bad game. We're going to put up an image of someone who looks similar.
Yeah, that guy.
I saw a kid who looked exactly like Chet, you know, except he's like 5'11".
Yeah, exactly.
Just had the same haircut.
Same build, too.
Yeah, skinny, 5'11". Looks like if he had Chet's money, he dressed exactly like Chet. He was trying. He just doesn't have Chet's money. He looked exactly like Chet if basketball wasn't a thing for Chet.
If basketball wasn't an option.
Yeah, if Chet didn't have basketball to make it out of Minnesota.
If he was a 5'11 shooter, not a 7'1 shooter.
Yeah. All of it would be Chet, except Chet had the benefit of being 7 feet tall. All right, we'll go to break. Michael Carroll will join us here shortly. But before we go to break, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's a place you go to if you got a plumbing problem. Pretty simple. Plumbing issue, Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the place for you. They do big jobs. They do small jobs. Something you should know about them. One of the bigger jobs that you can do for a home, particularly if you have a plumbing problem, is the repipe. If older homes are going to be in danger of needing a repipe because the pipes start to degrade, you turn on your water, you got things in your water you're not looking for. You're looking to turn the tap on and get clean water because you cook, you clean, you eat with that. If your water's bad and you think it's the pipes, check out the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Give them a call. You can call them at 281-488-6238 and get in touch with the premier repiping company in the city of Houston. If you are unaware of what something will cost and you don't want to be charged for figuring it out, Aqueduct Plumbing Company also is a place for you. They give you a free quote. No one likes being charged for an evaluation. That sucks. You're already going to have to pay for something for the services. You don't want to get charged for the estimate of what the services are going to cost. So whether you are looking for a repipe or a tankless water heater repair or having it looked at, or the traditional water heaters as well, they do all of that. Just check out their services menu. It's right on the homepage. It drops down. It shows you all the things they do. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
And action. It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll's back. He had some business to take care of. And by that, I mean being at Comicpalooza, spend a weekend hosting your podcast, doing other things. How was it?
It was good, man. It was fun. I did four panels there. I moderated a panel on Friday, was part of a panel on Saturday, did our podcast live on Sunday, and then was part of another panel that Sunday as well.
What was your favorite part?
It's probably doing the podcast live, because I don't see Jong that much, shockingly. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it was nice to see his face.
I don't even really think about that, of course, because you can do a podcast anywhere. Mm-hmm. Hell, John does a radio show from L.A. I didn't really think about the fact that you guys likely don't actually aren't in the same room that often.
Yeah, no, anymore. very rarely are we in the same room. So it's nice to actually see him in person. And then, you know, last year, it was like 40 minutes before we started, I got a text from him saying, I just got into an accident, and so he couldn't make the panel last year. Thankfully, he was safe. Everyone was safe. It wasn't a bad accident or anything, but he was unable to make it last year. So it was good to see him out this year, as well as Shalice Williams of Real Movie Junkie and Brian Wanawanto of the Bri Fi Podcast. So it was a good experience for sure. It was a fun event.
I was keeping updated on some of your posts and even posts you would like about the event. It seemed like a fun time. Latest issue of Comicast is 648, Why Project Hail Mary Amazes Both Movie and Book Fans. There's a question attached to that, so you can see their latest. It came out on Tuesday in podcast form.
Yeah, it's our live episode from Comicpalooza, so it was a fun one to discuss. God, I can't talk. I've been talking so much this week, this last like 10 days or whatever.
Trust, understood.
You understand.
Particularly today, of all days, where he'll join us for the morning show with John and Lance out. Mm-hmm. So a couple trailers and also some shows that have come out. Spider-Noir is out.
Yes.
That is on Amazon. Saw the first couple episodes. Very interested in that. You have Nick Cage live action. Yes. Spider-Noir based off the success of the character in Into the Spider-Verse, the movies. So now that turns into live action. Nick Cage being a superhero. We know the conversations about Nick Cage as a superhero really was about Superman. And they use his image in The Flash. If the long lost footage of Nick Cage in a Superman suit became an actual thing in a movie. But now he actually has a character that is fully fleshed out. Ben Reilly plays Peter Parker. He plays Ben Reilly. I've seen the first couple episodes. I have chosen the black and white noir version.
I think you should.
For people who don't know, Amazon has provided you the opportunity to watch it in black and white. And also in, they call it some special thing.
True hue, full color, or something like that. Yeah.
And the fun thing is they allow for you to go back and forth and not restart. So if you start in black and white, you're like, that's not for me. You're 20 minutes
in. You can switch it in the middle.
You can switch it to true hue, and it doesn't go back to the beginning. It begins again where you ended it in black and white. So they do allow for that if you want to flip back and forth. But I'm going to watch the entire thing in black and white. They have a special name for that too, but I'm watching it in that.
Well, I think it's the right choice because of the style of storytelling that they're trying to do. It's this 1930s New York like detective noir style story, so you want that black and white feel that it should be, you know what I mean? Like that is part of the experience of that show, and I think it works best watching it in black and white and then go to the color version.
Have you been able to check out any of it yet?
Only a little bit. I haven't been able to really dive into it this week, but I'm looking forward to it. It was one of those series where I first heard about it. I might have talked about it here. I know I talked about it on Comicast. When I first heard about it, I was like, all right, Spider-Noir, sure. A live action, sure. That's not going to work.
He doesn't talk as noirish as he does in the movie.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he's more of a human, like a real human being,
a Nicolas Cage human being.
Yes, sure. that you throw that on there. That's an important thing to mention. It is still Nicolas Cage, but he doesn't talk like in the noir cliches that he does in the cartoon movie.
Animated. It plays to, I think, his strength. You know, like Ghost Rider was.
I forget. He was in Ghost Rider.
He was in Ghost Rider, and that was an experience for sure. But I think what this benefits from is, you know, he's a big cinephile. Like, yep. He loves his movies, especially classic films. So having him be like, you're going to play this 1930s-esque superhero, have a ball with it, and I think you let him unleash, and you get something that's actually done very well with critics and audiences.
And it has the classic, the wife died, it changes your life, how do you respond type of scenario. It plays a big part. And that, you see that from the very beginning in the show. So Spider-Noir is out. I mentioned the Sean, and Eric, we see you. And, of course, Michael will give his recommendations on things to watch in theaters and in movies. Or, excuse me, and television. I saw the last trailer for House of the Dragon as far as season 3.
Oh.
It came out today. Mm-hmm. It gives me too much.
Yeah.
There's too much.
That's too much.
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet. I saw that it's posted, but I was like,
if you don't know, like, I don't know if you know about what happens. Maybe you stayed away from spoilers. Maybe you didn't read the book, Fire and Blood. I did not see any spoilers. I've avoided it at all costs. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it ends. And I don't know how it ends from the trailer. But I can figure out how it begins. Like, who comes into power?
Yeah.
And it's all about that power being wrestled away potentially, and what is being done to keep it in the trailer. And I feel like that's too much for someone who was able, who doesn't know how this goes. You gave me a clear start to the season beyond the gullet battle, which will be a big part of the first couple episodes. You've just given me you're showing me what King's Landing looks
like. That's one of the things I've been, depending on what it is, you know, like when it comes to like Spider-Man, which comes out in July, I'm probably gonna watch the second trailer. I don't care. I want to see more of that. But like something like this, or even something like Obsession, I only watch like maybe the first thing and I'm like, I'm good, don't show me anything else. Let me check it out and go from there.
Have you seen Obsession? You saw the whole thing?
I love that
movie. I saw it last night, and
what'd you think?
I enjoyed it throughout, but the last 25 minutes, man, I remarkable.
Insane.
What they did the last 25 minutes. It takes it from, okay, the character beats, what's going on, this soft boy, his back and forth about what I should do, I love, all the things, typical, and his him being conflicted by what's going on inside this person he claims to love, but doesn't appear to be willing to do things that would help her. And then at the very end, you're like, whoa.
It's you start watching that movie. It's like, okay. And then just things start happening. And it's like this big snowball effect, as I've described it. It's just, once it gets going, and then, like you mentioned, those last 25 minutes, I was just, my heart was racing, beating through my chest. I was nervous. I was just like, I didn't know what to expect.
Never going to look at an acceptance letter in the same way ever again.
Never.
It's nuts. It's still in theaters. Go watch it. Doing very well. If you haven't seen Obsession yet, go watch that
movie. It also did the rare thing where it made more money in its second weekend.
Yeah.
That's
word of mouth.
Wild.
Word of mouth. It was already a hit because of how much it cost to make and then what it made opening weekend. And then people were like, oh, this is a thing I need to go watch. And people decided they need to go see it.
Because it also has one of the best performances of the year, I think.
Yeah, and it's... And, you know, glad that they had that big uptick, because this is the final weekend that it won't be on digital. It'll be on digital June 2nd.
Right. So, go see it in theaters. It's well worth your time in theaters.
Yeah. It has some laughs. I think they're played for laughs, but still, it's like the last where you're like, I can't believe that this is happening. And then you're laughing. I mean, it's not, nothing's really humorous. Yeah. No one's making jokes.
No.
But you can tell what's happening is being played for laughs in a way, because it's so contradictory to kind of the overall tone of what's going on.
There was a person in the press screening that I went to where he was like, I laughed just because I didn't know how to react in certain moments. Because, like you said, some of it's done for laughs, but then some of it's just like, oh, I don't know what reaction to give right now.
Yeah, it's done for laughs, but I don't know that any jokes were really told. It's just...
Reaction situations.
Yeah, and it all comes together for a really good experience. So go see that if you haven't. You know, I guess some people will want to wait to watch it. Either way, I think you'll have a good experience if you watch it
for sure.
But go to the theaters if you can. Let's get to Eric, and then we'll get to a couple reviews, then we'll go to break and come back with more. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Great Comic-Con last weekend. I think they did good.
Thank you.
Yeah, Obsession. I think it's made more money the second week because I was promoting it a lot last week.
Sure.
Or a couple weeks before. But I found it more humorous than horror. I'd also heard there's starting a part two, a sequel to it. I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but, you know, The Wish. So maybe something, which is something that they come back, maybe. I don't know. But also, Disclosure Day, I saw the trailer for that. How do you feel about Disclosure Day and the Masters of the Universe comes out next week? And Evil Dead Slow Burn, I'm excited for that. I'll hang up to listen.
So, Curry Barker, who is the filmmaker behind Obsession, he has another movie coming out. It's set in the same universe. I don't know if it's a direct sequel, but Anything But Ghosts is his next movie, and it is in the same universe.
He did say that there is a like Easter egg to Nikki, the character, or no, let me back that up. He said it's an Easter egg for some character. I don't know that it's Nikki, actually, but there is an Easter egg for some character from the film that it helps you realize that, oh, this is happening in the same universe. And in terms of a sequel, he's talked about it a little bit, but he's also talked about the idea of doing like a series, almost like an anthology type series, where each person, like each episode is a different One Wish Willow.
Got it.
But in that case, it doesn't always have to be horror. It can be like I think he expressed it in interviews. You could word your wish in a good in a way where it's not a horrible thing that happens to you.
Yeah, there was a moment as the protagonist was trying to figure a way out of this. He asked his friend to do something, and the friend was like, "Whatever." And then he wished for something, and he got exactly what he wanted. and it would have been positive.
Mm-hmm.
Then something else happened.
Then something,
less positive. So yeah, it would be interesting to see if, hey, I wish for fame and fortune. And just generally when you do that in one of these scenarios, it always goes bad, but it would be interesting to see if things go right.
Well,
is there any drama if the things go right in the wish though?
No.
Yeah.
Probably
so I don't
not.
Know how you do it without it, all of it going poorly, no matter what the situation is.
Unless it's people questioning you and then going at you in that way because of the new thing that you've gotten or whatever. I don't know what I would wish for if I was in that case.
I've seen enough of these things to know that at some point it's going to go poorly for the person who makes the wish. So mm-hmm. I would be very aware of all the scenarios and may never make the wish because if Obsession is any clue, you got about a week.
Yeah, that's really? Yes,
well,
100%.
I'm sure it went longer as far as the timeline of the movie, but as far as before things start turning poorly or going bad, you got about a week. Thank you for the call, Eric. Yes, he's right. Masters of the Universe comes out.
Disclosure Day, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, so those are a couple movies that have gotten a lot of promotion that are out in kind of pretty soon. They're going to be out pretty soon, so take a look at that if you decide you want to go to the theaters. Let's get to a couple things before we go to break. What do you got, Michael?
Theaters this weekend. I'll focus on four wide releases. Backrooms is a new horror film, like kind of in the same vein of Obsession in terms of it's a lower tier budget. It's not this big budget thing.
Got the A24 brand behind it.
Got the A24 brand. Got the youngest director in A24's history directing this. And it's the synopsis is very short. A strange doorway appears in the basement of a furniture showroom. That's it. And there's I know there's other aspects.
20 years old.
Yeah.
The director, Kane Parsons, 20 years old.
And he comes from doing a YouTube series based off this.
Yeah. He's also known, Sean,
premise.
As Kane Pixels. Does that make you more likely to see a movie?
Kane Pixels?
That's his other name. He's known as Kane Pixels.
More interested.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Not just in the I was going to see the movie anyway, but more interested in this young man, and I can call him a young man. He's a decade younger than I am.
Yeah.
Welcome to my
world. This young man's career.
it's an interesting, like.
So it's based off a short, right? It was originally a short.
Well,
it was like a YouTube series or something.
Well, even before that, the thing Backrooms originated on a post on 4chan, which, oh boy.
All right.
But then somehow Kane Parsons made the thing into a YouTube series, and then it led to the Hollywood adaptation that we're getting now, starring a great actor in Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Got a good cast.
It's got a very good cast, and I think the big thing is the premises, or at least the tense feeling and the unsettling nature of just trying to get outside of this building in this just empty, foreboding type rooms. I don't know. Like, it's on paper, it's like, this shouldn't work. But, I mean, it's getting good reviews from critics, 88% right now.
So that is Backrooms. Another, this one's sci-fi horror. So if that's your your thing, it's been a pretty good year for that. And this one may very well add to it. Cine Theaters wide release right now. What's next?
Pressure, a new World War II film starring Andrew Scott and Brendan Fraser.
It would be the hot vicar from what was the show called?
Oh, the I don't remember.
Yeah,
that one show.
Yeah, it had a. Why am I? Oh, it's a Fleabag.
Ah, there you go. Well,
hot priest.
He's not that in this one. He is basically a meter. Like, I didn't expect there to be a new angle to explore of World War II at this point, but there is. Apparently, in the tense 72 hours before D-Day, and with the fate of the free world hanging in the balance, pressure follows General Dwight D. Eisenhower and Captain James Stagg as they face an impossible choice: launch the largest and most dangerous seaborne invasion in history, or risk losing the war altogether. All based around weather.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. I did not know how important weather was to D-Day.
Never would have thought of D-Day, that, honestly. Yeah, and it's, and again, it's another one where it's getting rave reviews right now, 85% with critics. Andrew Scott delivers an incredible performance from my understanding from a friend of mine who has seen the film. So it's definitely something that's maybe worth a watch this weekend. Brendan Fraser is just...
added again. He plays Dwight D. Eisenhower in the movie.
I didn't know that I would like that. I didn't feel like he would make sense as Dwight D. Eisenhower, but somehow it works for this subject matter. So you have that. But I do want to highlight, before we go to break, one of the, I think, better movies of the year that's kind of flying under the radar is available in wide release this weekend, and it's Tuner. It kind of reminded me, when I first saw the trailer, it kind of reminded me of a little bit better version of Baby Driver from 2017. A talented piano tuner's meticulous skills for tuning pianos leads him to discover an unexpected aptitude for cracking safes, heist, turning his life upside down. This stars Leo Woodhull. I think he's in White Lotus. People might recognize him from that. Also, Dustin Hoffman and Havana Rose Liu is also starring in this one. It looks good, and I like, as we know, I like a good heist film, similar to Sean.
Yes.
But it also plays in terms of a character study, and it's an interesting dynamic that they're going for here. This is also done by a director who is known for documentaries. This is his first fiction film, so it's interesting. 95% with critics, 97% with audiences that have seen it so far. It's a good one that I would recommend this weekend.
So we'll come back with more with Michael. We've got one more segment to go, but before we do that, I want to remind you, sure, you can go out to the movies this weekend. Michael's giving you some choices, but maybe you want to go someplace where you can win World Cup tickets, and I got you here. These are for tomorrow. All these times are 11 to 2, and this is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. If you want a chance for World Cup tickets, it's pretty simple. Go out to one of these locations, participate, and win in this interactive soccer shootout game, and you'll get a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game. Okay, tomorrow from 11 to 2 at McIntyre's in the Heights, you can play Phoenix on Westheimer and Montrose, Velvet Oak Tavern in Upper Kirby. You got Sawyer Park Ice House in Spring. You got Kirby Heights Ice House, and that's a special one, in the Heights. And also, Molly's Pub is from 4 to 7 in the Woodlands. The other ones I mentioned, 11 to 2. And I say Kirby Ice House is a special one. The bullpen's going to be out there from noon to 2 p.m. Go out there, see the guys, watch them do the show, and also get a chance to win tickets to the FIFA World Cup here in Houston. Play for your chance to win. Witness history, because superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
Plenty of movie talk in the last segment. Maybe we get to some TV here as well. Michael Carroll here, host of Comicast. He does that with Jong Lee. He's back with us after a week. I won't say off. You're doing some important things at Comic Palooza, but you're back here with us, able to join us to give us some recommendations. What's next?
One last one for theaters, and then we'll jump to TV. The Breadwinner, which is the new Nate Bargatze film. I think it's his first film, first feature-length film starring him and Mandy Moore as a couple, and as the mom lands a Shark Tank deal, switching roles with her breadwinner husband. He struggles to adapt as a stay-at-home dad to their three daughters. Very much, very tropey, very family comedy, but can be enjoyed by a family. So if you like Nate's style of comedy, or if you're looking for something a little more family-oriented this weekend, you have that.
I was going to ask you how your feelings on these vehicles for comedians. I generally don't enjoy them.
It very rarely does it work. Yeah. You know, as we saw with like Joe Coy's entry into it. Sebastian Maniscalco, he had
the TV show on HBO.
He had that TV show.
I think that won a couple seasons.
The betting show, wasn't it?
I'll have to look it up.
There was something, and it just, you know, like, they do well for reasons, obviously, on stage.
Yeah, bookie, yeah.
You know, yeah. You have that special cases, I guess you could say, with Kevin Hart and certain other ones. But
as it keeps going, his the ones that are specifically for him are a bit hit or miss now. Like,
yeah.
He's an IP, of course, with the Jumanji and stuff like that, and he has his relationship with The Rock or Dwayne Johnson that they get movies off. But as far as like, hey, this comedian got some juice, we're going to make a movie specifically for him, I'm like, eh. Yeah. It's rare that I think they get a good one.
It's tough to see it. I mean, Nate, we'll see with Nate and how it performs this weekend. I figure with his fan base, it'll do pretty well. But yeah, typically it's not a good foray, because they're comedians, they're not actors. So I mean, you're already working at that point.
Yeah, the good ones are the ones that aren't stand up comedians. They're like sketch comedians that then make a movie that's basically like a bunch of sketches. Like going from stand up to being like the breadwinner in the movie, the breadwinner, you know, like having to carry a movie. It's like a lot of times it's a little too much.
Well, like Keegan-Michael Key, like he's the one I think of who comes from improv and doing all that. And it makes sense in a lot of the movies that he's in. And Jordan Peele, of course. And we've seen where that's
like.
Or like
going back for like Will Ferrell and all those. They're on Saturday Night Live and then doing this. It's a reasonable jump.
Will Ferrell doing a full Spanish movie.
Who could have foreseen? Lost control there.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes you fly too close to the sun. So that is The Breadwinner with Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
What else you got, Michael?
Of course, we mentioned it. Spider-Noir Season 1 is available right now on Prime Video. All 8 episodes are available, which I was surprised by, but all 8 episodes are available now. 91% with critics, 92% with audiences. This is the series that I want to dive into the most this weekend. You mentioned it earlier. It caught me off guard. Not you mentioning it earlier, but the show itself, because when I watched the trailer for this one, I was like, okay, this seems interesting. And then it was like, oh, it's connected to For All Humankind on Apple TV. Oh, it's the story, but told from the Russians' perspective.
Yes, Star City.
Star City Season 1 is available. The first 2 episodes are available now, and then the next episodes are released on Fridays, I believe. Thursdays or Fridays. But that, you know, the first trailer had me hooked. Now, I'm not the For All Humankind
mankind
fan. Mankind. So I don't know that this is for me necessarily, but it seems like an interesting watch.
So I had a big gap between watching it. I watched the first couple seasons, didn't watch it for a couple of years, then got through season 3 pretty quickly. I'm about to get into season 4. So I said, okay, I started. I'll get back to it. I just not watching it when it first comes out. I'm interested to see this, because I always like, even though it may be an English production or American production, how they position how the Russians think about us.
Yes.
It's usually, like, of course, from our perspective, bad, bad Russians and all that stuff. But when they make the Russian side of it, it's always like, of course, American capitalism is a problem. So you just see this different variation of two sides going after each other, but for different reasons why they don't like each other. So I wonder if that'll play a huge part in how this story is told.
And the suspense of it all. Like, it felt more like, watching the trailer, it felt a little bit darker than the other one, and it felt like there's more tension in this one rather than the American version.
Yeah, in the For All Mankind, some of the back and forth about having women astronauts as part of the space program was a plot line in that show. And from the trailer, you just see, I don't know if the Russians had that same type of back and forth, but you see a woman, a female astronaut as part of the program. So though, I think that was a bit of the story in, in For All Mankind, how the Russians thought differently about female astronauts as opposed to Americans. So there's, it's set starting, I think, in 1969 in the Soviet Union. Getting good reviews, at least for the first couple episodes.
Yeah, 88% right now with critics. So that may be something to watch this weekend, at least the first two episodes. Deli Boys Season 2 is available now on Hulu. The fun comedy, two brothers getting involved with their criminal empire family that they didn't realize in the first season. Now they're full bore into it, and things go off the rails, of course. Only six episodes versus the first season that had 10 episodes. There's also Miss You, Love You. Yeah, Miss You, Love You, starring Allison Janney and Andrew Rannells. That one is a film about a grieving widow who is forced to plan her husband's funeral with a total stranger, her estranged son's assistant. So that is an indie drama that may be something to watch on HBO Max. One thing to maybe avoid is the John Travolta Propeller One Night Coach film.
Not a chance.
That one feels
Sean?
Feels very self-indulgent.
Limited release, I'm guessing?
No, it's Apple TV. Available right now. Only an hour. Whimsical.
I mean, come on.
It's his first it's directorial debut.
Yeah, I owe it to him.
There you go.
What do you owe to him? What has he provided that you think you need to watch this?
Hours of entertainment.
Face Off.
What's the last? Oh, it's got to be Face Off.
Yeah,
right?
Face Off. 100%.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it is. I'm not knocking it. I remember it was a staple on HBO during the summer.
Broken Face Arrow. Off.
Eh, less so.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. It's the first two that I thought of.
Mobland. He's in that movie. Not great. There hasn't been a lot of great stuff from him recently. So that's why you reference Face Off.
Well,
30-year-old movie.
Yeah, you know, really quick before we run out, Dead Man's Wire, which released earlier this year, is now available on Netflix. Highly recommend checking that one out.
Thank you, Michael Carroll. Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast, he does that with John Lee. You can hear it Wednesdays on ESPN 97.5, but also wherever you listen to podcasts. Sean, we are done for the week. We'll be back on Monday. Perhaps first place Astros on Monday. We'll see. Got to have a big series from them and some failures from the A's and the Mariners. Entirely possible. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Flip me over, Mike.
He wasn't here.
Yeah.
You weren't here. And then when you got here, he wasn't here. No flipping of John.
Man, I miss him.
In the last couple of days. Me less so. I don't miss him at all, actually. I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.